This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. State House and Senate leaders agree on a budget package last night. The $23 billion package offers pay raises for teachers and state employees and spells out who gets what tax breaks. Here with the details and a glimpse behind the scenes is WUNC Capitol Bureau Chief Jeff DeBerry. Hello, Jeff.
Hello, Frank.
Give us the headlines. What's in this package?
It is a roughly $23 billion spending package, as House and Senate leaders had agreed to a while back. That's the overall spend. But some of the big takeaways that folks are probably getting familiar with: an average 3.3% raise for teachers, a $1,000 bonus for state employees, a 1% increase in the cost of living, a COLA, cost of living adjustment for state retirees. And then there is a tax package. And we were waiting on this, the details. We knew that a standard deduction increase was coming. So folks, whether it's a single filer, a head of house, a married couple filing jointly, beginning in 2019, there will be less money. Or there will be a greater amount of income that is not taxed. It's going to increase to $20,000 for married couples filing jointly. At the same time, in 2019, the rates are going to drop. The personal individual income tax rate is going to drop from 5.499% down to 5.25%. One notable caveat with that one, or note on that, is that of states in the Southeast that do have a personal income tax, that would be the lowest rate of any of the states that do have it. So the personal income tax rate drops in 2019, and the corporate income tax, the corporate tax rate will drop from 3 to 2.5.
And so that was one of the items. Yeah. That was one of the items that separated the House and the Senate, and that is the details of a tax cut and when it goes into effect. And as you say, this doesn't go into effect until 2019. So all of that represents some kind of a compromise. Tell us where the House and Senate leadership were on this and when how this compromise came about.
The House has resisted changes to the rates, the personal income and corporate rates, since these conversations began a few months back. It's something that the Senate has been adamant about. The Senate wanted this. And the two chambers, in fact, rolled out different tax cut, or they use the word reduction, proposals. The House's amounted to about $350 million over 2 years. The Senate's tax cut reduction proposal amounted to about $1.1 billion over the next 2 years. So a huge hole between the two. They arrived at what they estimate will be a $530 million tax cut. So a little bit closer to the House's number. However, the policy that's in there, what they're doing, is more in line with the Senate. And there are these rate reductions, these rate cuts. And that's something the House had been tentative about and resisted. So that's a victory here, as I see it, for Senate Republicans.
Part of the compromise, the delay in when they go into effect, or is that just an artifact of negotiation?
Yeah, that's a good question. It was moving toward 2019, as best I could understand it in my reporting. So, yes, 2019. And that's, you know, as you think about it, that's a relatively quick turn. I mean, that's right. Less than 2 years from now for those taxes.
Let's talk about the pay raises. Teachers, 3.3% on average. Where does the money go?
We are working through this 480-page budget document in terms of where who benefits the most from it. You know, there has been a concerted effort from leadership, from Republicans in recent years, to increase starting teacher pay. That has gone from $30,000 to $35,000 in recent years. And what this budget seeks to do is get teachers to the max that they can earn sooner. So for decades, and chatted yesterday with one of the Senate's lead budget writers, a Republican by the name of Harry Brown from Onslow County down in the coast. And what he said said at a press conference and then said afterward was that the effort here is to get teachers to the max amount that they can earn by 15 years of experience as opposed to 3 decades. Then what this budget does, Republicans are framing it as a way to give more money to veteran teachers. They've set aside $10 million for teachers with 25 years or more of experience. And then there's also bonus money, so that teachers who, have been teaching whatever, English or math, for 15, 20 years, it's not as though they simply reach a cap and then they can't earn anymore. There are other ways for them to continue making more money.
All right. And there's a little something in here for active and retired state employees. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that's a cost of living adjustment, and this is a 1% bump for those state retirees. Since 2009, they have received just a 1.7% increase total over that time. This is an area where fiscal conservatives have been concerned about, you know, the long-term effects and how much money. I mean, this is tens of millions of dollars to do this. So there's been hesitance to do it. There hasn't been a whole lot in this area in recent years. So this is a 1% bump, and it's recurring for state employees. And this is something that generally throughout the legislative session, there are press conferences and there are awareness days and there are folks who rally for this. So this is something that state employees, I'm sure some will say, you know, this really isn't enough. This is an incremental bump, but it is more than they've received in recent years.
Active employees will get a flat one-time $1,000 pay raise. Is that right?
That is correct, yes.
All right, so that's that. So let's talk about a little bit of the log rolling that went on behind the scenes. There had been disagreement over how deeply to cut the UNC School of Law. Tell us how that came out and whether or not that's a victory for one house or the other.
Well, I guess I would call it a victory for the UNC School of Law more than anyone else. This was a proposed 30% cut to the UNC law budget when the Senate passed its budget about a month ago. UNC Law School has a $12 million budget. Senate wanted to cut $4 million. This budget proposal, which we should note, this is not a budget proposal that is going to be amended or tweaked. What came out of conference yesterday is going to be voted on simply with a thumbs up or a thumbs down, and there will not be tweaks to this. So as it stands is what is going to, presumably, barring something very strange, it's going to go into law here in a matter of weeks. So the budget that came out, the UNC School of Law is going to receive a $500,000 cut out of a $12 million budget. That's about a 4% cut for the UNC School of Law.
And that's closer to what the House was looking for than what the Senate had proposed, right?
Yes. Not a drastic cut, certainly. Go ahead.
Well, let's talk about that. So that was not as big a cut, a little bit of a bargaining chip in there, probably on the part of the Senate negotiators. So 5% cut now to UNC School of Law. Senate wanted to see a change in eligibility for food stamps. Where did that proposal end up?
That, I believe, again, working through this, is not in this budget. Neither is a cut the Senate had proposed to the Wright School in Durham, which is for students who have developmental disabilities. There was a proposed cut from the Senate to eliminate STEM funding for STEM education in the eastern part of the state. That is not in this final budget. So there are a number of things, and when we think about them in relative terms to the overall number of $23 billion, they are small, but of course, this, you know, these could be drastic cuts for a small group of people, and they are not in here. So those are some of the things that did not survive this negotiation.
One of the other disagreements between House and Senate leaders was a proposal to raise the age for those considered adults under North Carolina law. How did that end up?
That's right. We've talked about this on the program before. North Carolina is the last state in America that has not changed this mechanism, wherein 16 and 17-year-olds are still here, automatically tried as adults. Only state left in the country where that's the case. And the House and the Senate were divided on this. The House has pushed this for years, going back a decade now. They have introduced measures to try to raise the age for automatically being tried as an adult. So 16 and 17-year-olds would slot, so to speak, to the juvenile justice system. And there was more of a groundswell this year. The Senate has pushed back on felonies. They think that if a 16 and 17-year-old is charged with any felony, he or she should be tried as an adult. So the compromise here is that felonies have classifications, of course. So any felony that is A through G will still be will still lead to a teenager being tried as an adult. But felonies that fall under the H and I classifications would send a 16 or 17-year-old through the juvenile system. And that is, as I see it, that's a win for Republicans because the senators didn't want to include any felonies in this raise the age language. But the House was able to include two classifications of felonies in this. And we should also note that within this budget, there's $13.2 million allocated for a new youth development center in Rockingham County. So providing more space, more beds for juvenile offenders. it would this would have 64 juvenile offenders once it's up and running.
Which is why this otherwise policy question ends up on the budget as a budget proposal, because it does require some spending in order to make it happen. So let's talk about Governor Cooper. What does he say about all this?
He's not happy with the budget. As a matter of fact, right now, he started a press conference at 12 o'clock. I'm not sure if it's still going on. I imagine he's taking questions at this point. Our colleague Jess Clark is over there. She texted me and said that he's railing against the budget. He released a statement last night through a spokesperson and said that this budget shortchanges middle class families and education and economic development. Senator Berger last night, conversely at the press conference, said that this budget includes money for teacher raises, for Hurricane Matthew relief, and things that the governor has called a priority. So, you know, we're getting into the politics of it. Berger called on Cooper to sign it. We don't know yet whether he will sign. I don't think he's going to sign it, veto it, or let it become law without his signature. That's something we'll, I imagine, spend more time talking about in the next few days and weeks.
We will, and we will be here for that moment, Jeff, when you come back. But for now, thanks very much.
You're welcome.
Jeff DeBerry, WNC Capital Bureau Chief. Just ahead, we're going to talk about a new book about an enslaved African-American who stole a Confederate steamer in search of freedom. We'll talk about that on The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.